is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
All right. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you for this day. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your word would go forth in power and in might, Father, that it might penetrate our hearts, it might penetrate our minds, Father God, that we would have a retention level, that we might remember the word that we hear. And Lord, let us not only be hearers of the word, but Father, that we might be doers of your word. So Father, I ask now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would till up the soil to our hearts. Let your word come forth into our minds, and Father, let it bear fruit out of our lives, Father. So touch these lips, touch this tongue, touch every breath that comes from this body, Father God, to proclaim your truth in love, grace, and in mercy. We ask all this in the matchless holy name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And why don't you put your hands together and welcome in our online congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So once again this morning, we are talking about the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Shavuot, as it's known in the Hebrew language. Shavuot simply means weeks. It was called the Feast of Weeks because of after Passover, they would have to count off seven sevens of weeks, which would be 49. Then on the 50th day, they would celebrate the Feast of Shavuot. That's how we get the term Pentecost. The early Greek-speaking Jews called it Pentecosta Hemera, which means 50th day. So that's why we call it Pentecost today. So once again, unfortunately, many Christians are not even aware of the genesis or the reason why we recognize or even celebrate this day called Pentecost. And it's, how many of you know, listen, it's not just about speaking in tongues. The day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 wasn't the birth of a denomination called Pentecostalism. Somebody say amen. So Shavuot is all about, it's all about the celebration of God's word. We're going to do a little history here today. And it began at Mount Sinai with Moses during the exodus of the Jews from Egypt. That's the commemoration. That's what they're celebrating. Pentecost is just one of seven of the Lord's feast days that God commanded the Israelites to observe. So as a foundation and as an overview, let's take a look at the Lord's Feast calendar. If you could throw that slide up there for me. Once again, this is just going to be an overview, and then we will zoom in to the Feast of Pentecost here in a few minutes. So as you can see, in the early spring, there was the Feast of Passover. That's the first feast of the Lord that the Jews were commanded to celebrate. Now last week, we had communion and we talked about Passover. Then within Passover, you also had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as well as the Feast of First Fruits. Now the Jews all went to Jerusalem at that time of year, at the spring of the year, for these three feasts. It was one event, but they would celebrate three feasts. Then they counted off the 50 days, or the seven sevens. Then that would bring them to the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost. That's usually celebrated late May, early June. I believe it was last week was the actual day that the Jews celebrated Shavuot. Then you have the long summer months, 2 or 3 months, and then they were all looking for the Feast of Tabernacles. But the first feast, the first celebration as a part of the Feast of Tabernacles was the Feast of Trumpets, Then they had the Day of Atonement, which is prophetically speaking of judgment. Then at the end, they had the Feast of Tabernacles. So these are the seven feasts of the Lord that the Jews have been celebrating for 3,500 years now. They still celebrate them today. Now, all of the Lord's feasts are prophetic. They are types and shadows from the Old Testament. How many of you know the Old Testament is filled with types and shadows? All of the Lord's feasts point to the coming Messiah. They all point to the coming of Jesus Christ. They are a blueprint of not only the first advent, but as well as the second advent, or the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as they are prophetic in the giving of the Holy Spirit. Watch this scripture in Colossians chapter 2, if you put that up there for me. Verse 16 states, it says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So let me pause right there for a minute. You know, there's a lot of consternation in some churches, you know, about when the Sabbath, you know, people want to argue this all the time. Should it be Saturday? Should it be Sunday? Listen, how many of you know that Sabbath wasn't created we weren't created for Sabbath, but Sabbath was created for us. Whenever we saw, whether it's a Saturday night or a Sunday or a Tuesday, whenever your Sabbath is. The Bible's clear right here. Listen, don't judge anybody because we celebrate on Sunday morning. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But, people try to bring up arguments the Sabbath day, but the Bible is clear. Don't let anybody judge you by these things. Here's the key verse, though. Verse 17. This is good. Watch. It says, these are a shadow. Somebody say shadow. They are a shadow of the things that were to come. Let me break this word shadow down for you real quickly. Shadow in the original Greek language is skia. Skia simply means a blueprint. A blueprint. For example, if you were ever going to build a house or if you were going to build a building, you're going to build a shed. Before you start throwing up walls, there's a piece of paper that comes with it. It shows you what it's supposed to look like. Are you following me? So it's a skia. It's a blueprint. All the festivals are a blueprint of what the coming of Christ is going to, look like, because remember, they're all prophetic. Skia is also a term that is used for a dress rehearsal. For example, if you've ever been a part of a wedding or a wedding party, you know they always have a dress rehearsal. It's basically they're going through the motions. Are you following me, somebody? To what the reality is going to look like on that wedding day. Now let me finish reading this scripture. Now that you understand this shadow or skia. These are a skia, a shadow, a blueprint, a dress rehearsal of the things that were to come. But the reality, somebody, is found in Christ Jesus. So Jesus fulfilled all of the Lord's feast. So listen, saints of God, we are no longer required to observe the Lord's feast. We're no longer required because Jesus was the Passover lamb. He was the reality. He was the fulfillment. We were crucified with him as the perfect Lamb of God. We were buried with him on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we live again with him as a part of his first fruit resurrection. Because my Bible says, listen, if the same Spirit dwells in you that dwelled in Christ, if the same Spirit, he shall quicken your mortal body. Listen, when we lay down at a funeral, honey, that's not the end. That's just the beginning, somebody. Because Jesus Christ filled first fruits. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't observe the festivals. It's a good thing to observe them as a remembrance. Remember, even the Lord's Supper, we talked about this last week as we shared in communion. Remember, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. When God gave the Israelites the instructions back in Exodus chapter 12, as well as Leviticus chapter 23, he says, make sure you do this every year throughout every generation. Why? Because he wanted to have them a reminder of the coming Messiah. How many of you know, unfortunately, the Jews missed it when he stood right in front of their eyes? But that was also prophesied. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we should observe them regularly. It's a constant teaching that we can pass on through the generation. It's a major object lesson. That's the purpose. However, our salvation is not contingent on celebrating any of the Lord's feast. Somebody say amen. Now, Shavuot is one gathering. It commemorates two events. For example, if your birthday were to fall on New Year's Day, every New Year's Day you would have your birthday as well as you would celebrate New Year's. So one day, two celebrations. The event is Moses at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. And the first item that is celebrated is called the Matan Torah. The Matan Torah, meaning the giving of the word. That's what the term means in Hebrew, the giving of the Torah. Torah means the word. It's the law. It's their book. So it's the giving of the gift. Remember, this is where Moses received the Ten Commandments straight from God himself. So that's the first celebration. Secondly, this event was a transitional moment in Jewish history. No longer were they Israelites, just merely a descendant of a great man named Abraham. They had now become God's own people, trusted with his own word, chosen to learn his Torah and keep its laws. In other words, listen, church, this is important. God chose the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac. He didn't choose the descendants of Abraham and Ishmael. Amen. That's still a battle that's going on today. Come on, y'all. This is a 4,000-year-old battle. It was God through Abraham and Isaac. It's in Genesis chapter 17. Remember, I always tell you, be a Berean. Go look up what I'm telling you. Don't just take my word for it. So I'm here to tell somebody that God did not choose the Hittites. He didn't choose the Jebusites. He didn't choose the Amorites. No, no, no. He chose the Israelites. The Jews are clearly God's chosen people. They are the apple of his eye. They were then and they are today. How else do you explain May 14th, 1948? That is the day that after nearly 2,000 years, miraculously, a nation was rebirthed as a nation of Israel, speaking the original language that they spoke 2,000 years ago. Because first of all, it's prophesy. We don't have time to go into all those prophecy today, but I'm just trying to build you a foundation that God chose his people to bring us the Matan Torah. He chose his people to bring us the word of God. Here, let me ask you a question. What people group wrote the Bible that you now read? Was it the French? Huh. Was it the Germans, the Italians? Was it South Africans? Was it Chinese? Who was it? No. It was the Jews. All the apostles were Jews. What was the lineage of Messiah? Read Matthew chapter 1. Abraham to David, David to Jesus, 28 generations. It's the word of God. They are his chosen people. So just let me say this. To all these pro-Palestinian folks out there, to all these pro-Hamas and anti-Semitic and all these Jew haters, and especially those that are still in our government. How many of you know there's some people in our government that hate the Jews? Listen, let me be clear, unequivocal. Jesus Christ, who is a Jew, he's on his way back. He's not coming as a suffering servant, my friend. He's coming as the King of Kings, and he's coming as the Lord of Lords. He will destroy his enemies with the word of his mouth. He will set up his kingdom on this earth, and he will rule and reign with an iron scepter, and his capital will be in Jerusalem, and he will serve right there in Jerusalem, will be his king. Come on, somebody in the house, give our God a praise. Listen, you can take that to the bank, my friend. From Genesis to Revelation, as we like to say, generation. It's in the book, y'all. So today, you know that we are going to have, if you've seen the adverts, we're going to celebrate with a little cheesecake. How many of y'all like cheesecake? All right. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I want to keep your attention here. But we'll get there, I promise. We'll get there. So for all of you who stayed at home and attending St. Mattress today, you're missing your cheesecake. So part of the celebration that the Jews still do today, part of their traditional meal is to eat dairy products. Just like in Passover, you know, they ate the lamb, they ate the unleavened bread, the cups of wine and such. They all had symbolic meaning. Milk cheese and even cheesecake, which today is still a very common custom. So this morning, once again, we're going to have a little piece of cheesecake to commemorate the Matan Torah, the giving of the word. So why cheesecake? Cheesecake is symbolic, as all of the Lord's feasts are filled with symbolism as to serve as reminders of the goodness of God. So number one, the sweetness of the cheesecake symbolizes how sweet the word of God is. Come on, throw my scripture up there, Josh. Watch this now. Psalm 119, 103. It says, how, I got to put two syllables in here. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How many of you know? How many of you tasted of the Lord and know that he is good? Come on, is there anybody in this house you've tasted? Number two, the dairy or the milk symbolizes the nourishment to our soul that his word provides. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3 says, like newborn babes, crave what? Pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So that's what we're celebrating today, church. We're celebrating the word of God. You know, Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 4. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we're celebrating. That's what Pentecost, that's what Shavuot is all about. We're celebrating his word. When Jesus says that his word is going out of his mouth, in the Greek, it's perpetual. It's in the perfect tense. In other words, God, listen, is always speaking. The question is, are you hearing him? What's that old, was it Verizon? Can you hear me now? I believe God says, can you hear me now? And how many know he has to shift some things in our life once in a while? Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. So that he gets our attention, so that we'll open up our ear a little bit. Okay, Lord, I know I've strayed too far. Can I hear you now? God is always speaking. Not only, listen, are we listening, but are we obeying? Are we acting on his word? You know, it's one thing to receive a word from the Lord, but it's a whole other thing to act on that. That's where faith comes in, somebody. Are you hearing me? So listen, that's the background and a bit of history of the Feast of Pentecost or Shavuot. So let's now take a look at the fulfillment of this festival in the New Testament. Many of you are familiar with these scriptures. It begins in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, right at verse 1. Throw that scripture up there, please. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Keep that phrase in mind. Verse 6. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Let me just pause there for 1 second. This is the only time in the Bible that you will see this type of speaking in tongues. We're not going to go into the whole speaking in tongues here today. We've done it in our Holy Spirit series. But this is the only time where you see them speaking in one language and everybody understood it in their native tongue. Verse 7. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia. That sounds like a coffee at Starbucks or something. Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene. visitors of Rome. There were three continents represented here. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So what we just read here, church, is the first celebration of Shavuot post-resurrection. The Jews have been celebrating this festival for 1,500 years prior to this point. Jesus would have celebrated this festival every year that he was on this earth for 30 plus years. The record of the first Matan Torah, the first giving of the word, once again is found in Exodus chapters 19 and 20 when God is speaking to the Jewish nation. The commentary in the Midrash is an ancient classical collection of the sages' homiletic teachings of the Torah. They offer three attributes to the voice or the word of God that was spoken during this event at Mount Sinai. Let me give you their commentary. Now, this was written thousands of years ago. This is written before Jesus Christ. Here's their commentary. I need my first slide up there, if you would, please. They have applied three attributes to God speaking at Mount Sinai. Concerning these passages, these astute scholars state that when God spoke at Mount Sinai, he spoke in 70 different languages simultaneously, which represented at that time the 70 nations on earth, so that every nation would hear his word. Not only the Jews, but the entire world. Now remember, they wrote this way before Christ was on the scene. However, in Acts chapter 2, watch this now, God makes sure that there are people there from every nation under heaven are represented there to witness this fulfillment. Remember, in the Old Testament, it's a type and a shadow. In the New Testament, it's a fulfillment. Every nation was there to witness this fulfillment of the giving of the world, of the word, so that this message, this event would carry on and this gospel would be preached throughout the entire world. The Bible says there were Jews there from every nation. Listen. How many of you know our God didn't need Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or TikTok? He didn't need to call a Zoom meeting to have people come in. Are you hearing me, somebody? He didn't need to wait for the internet or for satellites to go up there. And God is still speaking today simultaneously in every language and every dialect on the face of the earth. Come on, somebody in the house. His message went viral in Acts chapter 2 and is still trending today in the 21st century. And his word is still going on and out throughout the world today. The Bible, which you are reading, the written word of God, is still the best-selling book of all time. And it's also the best-selling book year after year after year after year. I'm here to tell somebody there is no piece of literature on the face of the earth that can meet the standard of the holy word of God. Come on, somebody. None. There's none. So number one, everybody heard the voice of the Lord. Number two, these ancient sages say that it was the voice that did not cease. The voice that did not cease. Jewish rabbinical scholars teach that when God spoke to the Israelites in the Matan Torah, they describe it as a great voice that did not cease. They teach that after God spoke at Mount Sinai, he continued to speak through his prophets throughout the following centuries and would continue throughout all eternity. Once again, it was the great voice that did not cease. In Matthew chapter 4, as we already discussed, he said that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, that is perpetual out of the mouth of God. That God is always speaking throughout the earth. And we know that God is still speaking today in various forms. In Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says that this is at the baptism of Jesus. The Bible says that as the Son of God went into the water, a voice came from heaven, said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." That's the phoné. That's the audible voice of God. Then in Matthew chapter 4, we see the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness. And out in the wilderness, the devil is tempting him. But every time the devil tempted him, Jesus said, It is written. That is the graphe in the Greek language. It's the written word of God. But then you also have the rhema word of God. In Romans chapter 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. That's the revelatory, the revelation that you receive when you get that aha moment. Anybody have an aha moment with the Holy Ghost? So you have the phoné, you have the graphé, you have the revelatory word, but then you also have the logos. There's four words in the Greek. The logos, in the beginning was the word. The logos, in the beginning was the word, and the word, the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Down in verse 14, and the logos dwelt amongst, come on somebody. We're talking about the living word of God. Logos, more accurately defined, is the expression of my thoughts. Listen, Jesus Christ was the expression of the Father's thoughts, and he came and dwelt amongst us. Come on, somebody give God a praise for Jesus. My God. We're celebrating the word this morning. We're celebrating the word. The third attribute. Is these Jewish scholars say that God, when he spoke, it was a non-echo voice. A non-echo voice. We're talking about Shavuot, we're talking about Pentecost, we're talking about celebrating the Word of God. These ancient rabbis teach that when God spoke, there was no echo. They term it as the non-echo voice of God. In other words, there was no sound bouncing around. There's no reflection. Now, I have a background, as many of you know, in audio recording, record producing. So let me explain echo to you. When you hear my voice right now, you're not only hearing it from my mouth, but you're hearing it bounce off the walls. Are y'all with me? That's the echo. When somebody speaks, it hits a hard surface, and it reflects or rejects the sound. But these Jewish sages stated, when God spoke, it was a non-echo voice. The definition of echo is the rejection of sound. It's a wall, it's rejected. But they say when God spoke in Exodus chapter 19, the sound of his voice not only came down from heaven, but they say that it came up from the earth. It also came from every direction. It came from the north, the south, the east, and the west. In other words, listen, there was no escaping the voice of God. You could not close your ears. And they believe that it permeated and infused everything on earth and even inanimate matter. It penetrated everything, every creature and all of creation. Therefore, I'm going somewhere here right in a minute. Stay with me. If it permeated and infused everything, there was no echo. There's no rejection. Nothing or no one could reject the voice of the Lord. Let me back it up with another scripture. Most of you know this one by heart. Isaiah 55 and 11. Throw that up there real quick for me. This is God speaking. He says, my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Yes. So watch this now. One day, my friend, one day, the word of God, it will either save you or it will condemn you. You cannot sidestep, my friend, I'm trying to help you right now. You cannot sidestep the word of God. Church, when the voice of the Lord comes to you, you cannot reject it. You can ignore it. You can disobey it. You can wrestle with it like Jacob, but you cannot reject it. The Lord's word will go forth. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. It will not return or echo back to him void. Why? Because God has a non-echo voice. You cannot escape the word. We're talking about the word of God here today. You cannot escape the word of God. It doesn't matter if you're living in a jungle in Indonesia or Africa. It doesn't matter if you're hiding in some cave in Afghanistan. It doesn't matter, listen, if you're living in an ivory tower in New York City or in Paris, or if you're living on Skid Row. Are you hearing me, somebody? You cannot sidestep the word of God. It doesn't matter if you're living on Mars, Pluto, Saturn, or even if you're an atheist. You cannot hide from the word of God. Watch, let me give you a scripture on this. Watch this. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, here it is, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So that people, what? Are without excuse. What is the scripture saying? It's saying even creation is shouting the word of God. Creation is shouting that there is a creator.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the word of the Lord spoken in Exodus not only penetrated every man, woman, boy, and girl. It penetrated every horse, every fish, every tree, every cow, every body of water. It penetrated every star, every angel, every galaxy, and every universe. It penetrated it, everything and anything. Why? Because our God is that big. My Bible tells me that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all time. Listen, beloved, the word of God affects everyone and everything. Let me prove it to you in the Bible. When Jesus saw the fig tree that was barren, what did Jesus do? Call the gardener? He spoke to the fig tree. Are you hearing me? In Mark chapter 4, when the winds and the waves were acting up and the disciples were freaking out, did Jesus call the weatherman? What's the weather going to look like a little late? No, no, no. The word of God, he spoke to the winds and the waves. That's why the disciple says, who is this? And even the winds and the waves obey his. We're talking about the voice of God today. In other words, he's God incarnate. Who do you think told those lions to shut their mouths when Daniel arrived? Who told the fire, don't you touch those three little Hebrew boys? Who told the sea to split when Moses stretched out his staff? Who? It was God Almighty. It's the voice of the Lord. Who do you think called the fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah at the right time? Who told the rain to start to fall in Noah's day? Who told the sun to stand still? Who told the donkey what to say? I'm trying to tell you, we serve a big God here, somebody. Who spoke to Lazarus? Hey, Lazarus. Nap time is over, buddy. Get up. We serve a mighty God, somebody. Who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence? It was the voice of the Lord. Listen, church, that is what Pentecost, that is what Shavuot is all about. It's about the voice of God. It's about the word of God. And that's what we're celebrating here today. So let me wrap it up right here. What's the purpose of Acts chapter 2, the outpouring or the giving of the gift? It's the fulfillment of God himself now placing his word by his Holy Spirit within us. The baptism was the fulfillment of Jeremiah 31 and 33. You throw that up there for me, please. It says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, meaning after the time of Messiah, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. The word law there is Torah. It's their word. It's the commandments of God. It's his direction. It's his prophetic teaching. It's his word. I will put my Torah in their minds and I will write it on the hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Somebody thank God for his loving word that's within you. Come on, somebody. Listen, this day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 would be like none other. At the first giving of the word with Moses at Mount Sinai, the Bible says the whole nation, it trembled, the whole mountain trembled violently. In an upper room when the Holy Spirit fell, when the word was given, not only did the natural earth shake, but I believe the supernatural earth began to shake. I believe when the fire fell and they began to speak in tongues and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe those devils had a meeting. They said, wait. Just before this day, we only had one Jesus to deal with. But now he's multiplied himself by 120. Come on, somebody. And how many of you know he's still multiplying himself today all around the world? Come on, are you part of that multiplication? Do you have the Holy Ghost living in you? Come on, church. That's what we're celebrating today. That's what we're celebrating today. He's put his word in us. In the Old Testament, the Passover, it freed the Israelites physically from their bondage from the Egyptians. But the giving of the Torah in Mount Sinai and Shavuot, it was to keep them spiritually and from future bondage and idolatry and immorality. That's the purpose of God's word in our lives. The Ten Commandments, how many of you know, is not a list of do's and don'ts. Because before I was saved, I thought that God was an unfun God, you know. He couldn't drink, couldn't smoke, couldn't party, couldn't dance, couldn't sleep around. Come on, do I get a witness in the house? Talk to me. Them Christians are boring people. Come on, do I get a witness in the house? Why would I ever do that? But I didn't know. Huh. Until you find Jesus, my friend, you haven't even begun to live life. You haven't even begun. Jesus said, I am the life. But the Holy Word comes into us. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're saved at Passover, but it's the giving of the Holy Spirit, listen, that keeps us free. Come on, you got conviction in your life? That's a good thing. That's a good thing if you have that conviction in your life. As Moses went up the Mount Sinai, he brought down the Ten Commandments. He brought the Torah down. Jesus went up to heaven, but he sent the Holy Spirit down. When Moses came down the mountain, the word, it says there was a great repentance in the camp, but because of their debauchery, the Lord commanded the Levites to slay brothers, sons, and friends. The Bible says that there were about 3,000 people that died. However, in the second Pentecost, the second Matan Torah, when the disciples went into the upper room, the Bible says they also came out of that upper room, and Peter stood out there, and the Bible says that he preached the word of God. But instead of 3,000 people being slain, the Bible says 3,000 people were saved by the grace of God. Oh, come on, somebody. We're talking about the grace of God. Because of the blood of the Lamb, it's a new season. It's a new day. Come on, church. Unlike the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost uses two loaves with leaven in them. You know, leaven is always symbolic of sin in the Bible. So during Passover, they had to use unleavened bread. It was symbolic of Jesus Christ. We looked at that last week with the matzah. It's unleavened bread. There's no sin. But in Pentecost, they used two loaves of bread filled with yeast. It was like God was saying, now listen, I got two loaves. I got Jews, and I got Gentiles coming together, filled with yeast. But in spite of your yeast, I'm going to use you anyhow. Come on, somebody. So no matter how jacked up, no matter how much we fumble and bumble and stumble around, it doesn't matter. God can still use you because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Come on, somebody, thank God right there. My Lord, Lastly, on the day of God's visitation with Moses, the Bible says that people had to stay away from God's presence. It says they would perish. Exodus 19 and 18 states that smoke covered the mountain and the Lord descended on the mountain with fire. On the birth of the Jewish nation, God descended in fire. Some 1,500 years later, God descended in fire again in a little upper room. Only this time, it was the fire of the Holy Spirit. This was the birth of the Christian nation. The Bible says they saw cloven tongues of fire rest on each one of them. The fire fell in an upper room with just 120. However, because of God's grace offered through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the fire no longer would destroy them, but it would consume them, and they were empowered because Jesus says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, "You will receive power from the Holy Ghost, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Because of the blood of the Lamb, somebody, we can now celebrate Pentecost in its fullness in the presence of an almighty God. That's why the writer of Hebrews says that we can now boldly go before his throne of grace. Come on, y'all. Because we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, we can now go before God Almighty. In the Old Testament, listen, God moved upon his people. In the Gospels, he moved amongst his people. But from the day of Pentecost until today, he's now moving in his people. In Acts, it says, "In him we live and we have our very being." How many are thankful today that God is moving in you? That's why we say here at Judah, listen, we're not here waiting for a move of God. We are a move of God. Come on, y'all. Because the Holy Spirit is, we're not tarrying and waiting. No, they did that in Acts chapter 2, y'all. He's lit us on fire. While we're talking about the word, let me just drop something here. I like to do away with some of these Christian misnomers that come from time to time, you know. Here's a Christian misnomer. You know, they talk about the anointing, what? Breaks the yoke. Let me break this down for you here. My anointing that I have doesn't break your yoke. If you're bound up in something, I could pray for you till the cows come home. All right? Follow this now. Watch. Whatever you're struggling with, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because how many of you have been around the church long enough, see people come to the altar week after week after year, over and over again? All right, now here we go. I got you set up for this. Anointing in that passage in Isaiah simply means fat. Y'all hear me? I'm not speaking in tongues, anybody. I want to be real clear here. It means fat. So when somebody says, "Ooh, you look fat today," that's the anointing. I got that anointing all over me. Watch the lesson here. The yoke goes around an ox's neck. So how do you break that yoke? You feed the ox. And the ox eats. And he eats. Are you following me? And as he eats, he's getting fatter and fatter and fatter, and eventually the anointing breaks the yoke. If you got a yoke on you this morning, listen.
Thank you, Lord.
My grandma would say you need to manja. It's Italian for eat. You need to eat the Word of God. Because the more you eat the Word of God, that those yokes. Come on, do I get a witness in the house? Come on, dude. The more you ate, the more you obeyed, the more you stepped out in faith, those yokes, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if it's drug addiction, if it's alcohol addiction, I don't care if it's pornography, everything, whatever is binding you up. Come on, we could go and hear testimonies all over this room today of how some folk been set free from debauchery. Thank God. But it's the anointing. What was it that broke that yoke out of you? You heard the Word of God. And that Word of God set you free. Jesus said, ye shall know what? The truth. And it's the that will set you free. Are you following me, saints of God? So Pentecost, Shavuot, the Matan Torah, we are celebrating the Word of God because we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Come on, if you're with me, stand on your feet and give our God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, come, come. Let your spirit fall, Lord, down on us as we gather in this place. Lord, renew our spirit.
presence. Don't fight him. Relax. Oh, if you only knew how much he truly loves you. You know, he left us and he sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our guide, our teacher, to relax us in his presence. There's peace there. There is warmth and comfort there because he loves you. Oh, come, come, Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.